On Saturday 4 April 2026, the Pico balloon, ZS6 Alpha Foxtrot Bravo 1, had completed its sixth circumnavigation and is now on its seventh trip around the southern hemisphere, approximately southwest of the Kerguelen Islands in the Southern Ocean at 52.5 degrees south and 57 degrees east. This balloon is slowly moving more to the south and closer to the Antarctic with every circumnavigation. For all the SSTV enthusiasts, there is a new IRIS SSTV event that will be taking place from 10 to 14 April 2026. The IRIS radios on the ISS will transmit Series 31 images on 70 centimeters. SSTV Series 31 images will pay tribute to Cosmonautics Day, the 100th anniversary of liquid-fueled rockets, the inaugural Space Shuttle launch, and SUITSAT. For the newbies who have not yet played with SSTV, there is a wealth of information on the AMSAT UK website at amsat-uk.org/beginners/ISS-SSTV. There is an interesting video that explains the differences between mesh-tastic, mesh-core, reticulum, and ATAC for the guys that want to explore more about LoRa devices and the different software that is available to use with the devices. Take a look at the YouTube channel of Jason Johnson, Kilo Charlie 5 Hotel Whiskey Bravo, at www.youtube.com/@hamradio2. Look under videos for the video posted in the last couple of days. I have found another calculation tool that is useful for us when it comes to coaxial cables and ensuring that you get the most power to your antenna. This is especially important as you go higher up in frequencies above 30 MHz. Coax cables can be the place where you lose the most power in a radio system. The reverse is also important. The same losses that you calculate for the transmit path is applicable to the receive path, where you are dealing with extremely small signals. The first thing is to get the right cable for the job. Then you need to keep your cable as short as possible, as the longer your cable is, the more signal will be attenuated. Let us look at an example of a 20 meter length of RG58 coax. At 7 MHz, the loss will be 0.54 dB. And you will lose approximately 12% of your input power. At 145 MHz, the loss will be 2.45 dBs, and you will lose approximately 43% of your input power. And at 435 MHz, the loss will be 4.25 dBs, and you will lose approximately 62.5% of your input power. Compare this to the same length of LMR400 cable. At 7 MHz, the loss will be 0.14 dB, and you will lose approximately 3.2% of your power. At 145 MHz, the loss will be 0.65 dB, and you will lose approximately 14% of your input power. And at 435 MHz, the loss will only be 1.12 dB, and you will lose approximately 23% of your input power. Using LMR400 cable for your long runs is a sensible choice. Now comes the challenge inside your shack, or even inside your go box. LMR400 is a very stiff cable, and it is very difficult to make tight bends with the cable. RG58, on the other hand, is a lot easier to work with in confined spaces, and short lengths of maximum 300 mm will only exhibit a loss of 0.06 dBs at 435 MHz, translating in a signal loss of 1.5%. Coaxial connectors also needs to be considered. In a go kit where there is confined space, you will find it very difficult to connect a screw-on connector like a PL259 UHF connector or an N-type connector. A BNC on a length of RG58 coax is much easier to work with. Remember, to only use 50 ohm BNC connectors and not 75 ohm connectors. Do not mix them up. You will have issues. Also remember that when you go up in frequency, the antennas also become smaller, and you can build higher gain antennas that will provide you with sufficient gain to overcome your cable losses. Before I forget, the tool for calculating losses can be found at hamshackreviews.com/coax-attenuation-calculator. And that's calculator without the R. This tool does not have all the different types of coax cables, so if there are other types of cables that you would like to use, then take a look at the Times Microwave calculator at timesmicrowave.com/calculator. Lastly, be very careful of cheap cables and offcuts that you can buy at flea markets and off the internet. Make sure that you know what you buy and look for the manufacturer's markings on the cables to assist you with your choices. Also look for possible signs of damage to the cables. Likewise with coax connectors, I only buy from reputable suppliers, and again, I prefer to buy clamp-on connectors so that I can repair them in the field if necessary. Crimp-on connectors are convenient, but if you have a connector problem, then you need to cut it off and crimp a new connector on, which you may not have with you, nor the crimping tool either. Remember the Afrikaans saying, goedkoop is duurkoop. All the links mentioned here are in the text version of the program, which is on the amsat.org.za website. How about telling us about that exciting long-distance contact that you have made on the VHF and above bands? Or about that project that you are working on in the VHF and above bands? Send me a consolidated report of your activity or project with any additional photos, audio or video clips to bjacobza@gmail.com. Remember, by sharing your activities with us, allows us to tell the rest of the amateur community about your achievements, and the more we promote the activity on the VHF and above bands, the better chance we have of encouraging more amateurs to explore the world above 30 MHz. This program is compiled, edited, and presented for Amateur Radio Today by Brian Jacobs, ZS6 Yankee Zulu.